This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And on the first Friday of each month, we discuss a topic of environmental importance to our state, our county, and to our hometown. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and the host of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. On this month's show, Lisa covers the newly announced Waters of the U.S. rule. It clarifies what waters are protected by the 1972 Clean Water Act.
My guest today is Jennifer Reed, director of the University of Michigan Water Center. Jennifer has more than 15 years of experience developing and implementing restoration-related programs in the binational Great Lakes region. She's held positions at the Great Lakes Commission and the Great Lakes Institute for Environmental Research at the University of Windsor and served as assistant director and research coordinator of Michigan's Sea Grant. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
When it comes to the protection of water across this nation, there was a significant announcement last week, the EPA's new Waters of the U.S. rule. Can you explain what this new rule entails?
Yes, I can. So this is a very important clarification for the Clean Water Act. It basically defines what are federal waters, what are waters over which the federal government has jurisdiction. There had been some ambiguity about that, but this new rule clearly defines what are federal waters. It applies physical and measurable definitions that are based in science, so there's some certainty around what those waters are, and it will lead to efficiency in regulatory actions and other related activities because it reduces the need for a case-specific analysis to determine which are federal waters. So, summary, clarity, certainty, and efficiency.
Got it. So, part of this confusion, if you will, was the outcome of a few Supreme Court cases over the last many years. And there was confusion about what was and was not protected under the Clean Water Act. And one of those Supreme Court cases originated right here in the state of Michigan. It was the Rapanos versus the United States case. And can you speak specifically to what the implications of that decision were in the confusion?
Right. Well, the Supreme Court actually split over the decision on that case, and it was a 4-1-4 split. So the challenge was that the four on one side interpreted what federal waters were in one direction. The four on the other side interpreted in a different direction. This was in 2006, and it has really been ambiguous ever since as to whether, say, an isolated wetland is or is not a federally regulated water. And so there was a real need then for clarity.
So, as you said, the Waters of the U.S. rule clarifies a lot of things around the Clean Water Act, a milestone environmental law put into place. And yet this new rule faced and continues to face strong opposition among a number of entities. And which constituencies actually oppose this rule and why?
Well, there was a lot of concern on the part of, say, agriculture and the construction industry. Concern that it would extend the federal mandate over areas that had historically not been under federal authority. So things like agricultural ditches or special erosional features that occur on construction sites or in agricultural fields. And in reality, the rule does not apply to that. So that was just a concern that occurred during the discussion of the rule.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about protection of the Great Lakes with Jennifer Reed, director of the University of Michigan Water Center. So, Jennifer, despite opposition, it appears that the new rule has broad support from a variety of other businesses and organizations, from the Michigan brewery entities to Ducks Unlimited. What makes this rule so important to Michigan in particular?
I think there's importance here in the clarity that's offered by this rule. So the industries and businesses that really are in support of it are ones that benefit from a clean environment that...
So a place like Michigan that has, 36,000 miles of rivers, streams, and creeks, this has huge implications for those water bodies.
You put it very nicely. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. So when addressing the issue of Great Lakes restoration, which you're very familiar with, funding at the federal level has always received strong bipartisan support across Michigan's congressional delegation, across many of the delegations in this region. But this rule, however, does not have the same broad support. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that. I saw in particular Congressman Benishek actually spoke out against this, and he represents a district that is probably the district with the most Great Lakes shoreline.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch how this the debate around this rule has really evolved. I think it's mostly a concern about the sort of pull between home rule and the states, even down to the municipal level. Counties were very concerned about this rule as well. I think there's a lot of turf protection that was going on during the debate. So making sure that localities that had or states that had that authority retained it. There was concern, I think, that this might be a grab on the part of the federal government. But I think as the rule has come out, it's clear that that's not the case. It was really just to clarify what are federal waters and what are not, and where does the jurisdiction lie so that people can move ahead.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm Lisa Wozniak, and we're talking about the EPA's new Waters of the U.S. rule with Jennifer Reed, director of the University of Michigan Water Center. So most people agree that the federal government should be doing more to protect our rivers, lakes, and streams from pollution. Certainly, recent public opinion polling has shown that. But with the myriad of issues threatening the health of our lakes, from Asian carp to toxic algae blooms, does this Waters of the U.S. rule set us on track to tackle some of those larger issues?
Well, I think the clarity that's provided by it is a really important first step, but I think it's one piece of a much larger puzzle. I think it would be great if the governors and premiers could really put pressure at the federal level to look at things like what the loadings are, for example, of nutrients into the Great Lakes. And people are most familiar with the western basin of Lake Erie, but there are problems in Saginaw Bay, Green Bay, Bay of Quinte on the Canadian side. It's not just a Lake Erie issue. It's a big regional issue.
With water shutoffs in Toledo last summer, 400,000 people, right, without drinking water. It's a big issue. And the governors and premiers are set to convene on, I think it's June 12th. What do you hope will come out of that meeting?
Well, it would be great if they could follow up their 2013 resolution on Mackinac Island, which was a resolution related to nutrient management, with something that really calls on some specifics, asks the federal governments to really adopt specific loadings and move forward under their obligations under the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement.
So if people in this listening area want to do more on this, what would you suggest they do? Would they call their governors? Where are the pressure points in actually doing more to protect our Great Lakes?
Oh, what a great question. Definitely they should talk to their congressional representative and make sure that they're aware of their concerns. And then they should also call their state legislators as well, so that the pressure occurs there.
Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. This is Jennifer Reed, director of the University of Michigan Water Center. I'm Lisa Wozniak, inviting you to join me next month for the next edition of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment.
Lisa Wozniak is executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. WEMU's First Friday Focus of the Environment is a monthly feature and heard, as you might expect, on the first Friday of each month. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org.